Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. Returning guest on the program today, he's the chairman of First Mining Finance Corp, as well as CEO and president of First Majestic Silver. We have Keith Neumeyer on the line. Keith, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Colin. It's a pleasure speaking to you again.
I understand that you've had a busy travel schedule the past few weeks. You're now situated back in Vancouver. What have you been up to the last few weeks?
Oh, you know, I'm constantly on the road. I think I live in an airplane. Seems to be, you know, what I do the most. But I was in Mexico. I was in management meetings in Mexico. Then I had a big mining conference in Guadalajara. Then from there, I jumped over to Europe and went to the big retail mining conference in Munich, which is the largest retail conference there is in the continent. And then I went to Zurich for another conference there, and then made my way back through London, then to Vancouver.
Wow, quite a schedule there. Well, I'm happy we've gotten some time with you. I wanted to discuss the overall markets and look at what's going on with a lot of the mining shares these days. Performance has been a little bit lackluster for gold bugs looking to get a bid on some of these shares. So maybe starting off, Keith, gold, along with many other commodities, performing well or not badly on the year, yet the stocks seem to be performing quite poorly. Does this surprise you?
Well, you know, the institutions just simply are not in this market. And without the institutions in the market, it's very difficult for these stocks to really do very much. You know, you've got a very embedded, you know, retail shareholder base in most of these companies who are, you know, obviously bulls in gold and silver and in other metals. And they're really the ones that are keeping these markets, you know, the way they are, you know, somewhat, I guess, flat. But until, you know, we see, you know, a crack in the major markets and people stop making money chasing the next best high-tech stock or company, or, you know, the FANGs making money seemingly every day on new highs in the NASDAQ and the S&P, you know, they're going to keep chasing that market. And then when it changes, then the money will flow into the mining equities.
Keith, as you know, we had Eric Sprott talk at our conference down on Jekyll Island, and the title of his talk was, "We Are Indeed in a Resource Bull Market." I heard you a couple weeks ago in an interview state that bull markets are oftentimes unrecognizable while you're in them, certainly in the beginning, and that can certainly be said for the case with gold right now. This also happened in early 2000s. Do you draw a lot of comparisons between the two?
Well, I've been saying that for a while now, that this very much feels like 2000. You know, I remember, you know, Y2K, and, you know, you could raise money on any dot-com business plan that you might have where it had no revenues and no hope for success, but people were still investing in companies like that, and it was a very interesting market, and the mining sector was down and out, and it wasn't really until 2001, 2002, after the NASDAQ had started to crack quite substantially, that the mining sector woke up. And I was heavily investing in the mining sector in the early 2000s and did quite well. And of course, put First Majestic Silver together in the early 2000s as well. And we were picking up old silver mines that were shut down or at least some were operating, but somewhat poorly being operated. And we picked them up for peanuts, as far as I'm concerned, because I had a vision, and which turned out to be, you know, obviously quite accurate. And you know, we saw the metals, well, gold and silver and the other metals rally substantially. And, you know, it's going to happen again, all over again. But as I said earlier in your previous question, you know, we just need to see these other markets. Maybe we don't need to see a crash. I'm not saying that. But we need... you know, we need some, you know, some sameness in the marketplace where the money just stops chasing the Dow, stops chasing the S&P every single day, and the institutions start to recognize the valuations of some of the mining companies and stocks, mining stocks, and it will happen, and it'll be slow. You know, that 10-year bull market from 2002 to 2012 didn't go straight up. There was many times that there was huge corrections. And we saw, this bull market that you referred to earlier that Erica said that we're in, which I absolutely 100% agree with, started in early 2016, and we had a very nice run for 6 months where we had many companies up 300, 400, 500% in some cases, and now we've seen quite a good correction, 50% plus correction, and now it's time, I think, to be re-entering this market. And I've been, picking my investments over the last couple of months because I think these valuations are just so good, and they're not going to last that much longer.
Drawing a comparison to the 2000s is exciting because that bull market, as you just explained, was so epic in proportion for resource investors. I would certainly be willing to wait for quite a while longer if we're going to enter something similar to what we saw then. Do you suspect similar gains could be ahead? Maybe less, more? What do you think is coming down the pipe the next few years?
I think it's actually going to be a bigger rally. It just because, there's more money out there, there's a ton of currency in circulation, there's more wealth, there's big institutions chasing these markets. When you see, the Nasdaq and the S&P making new highs every single day, that's big money. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars that are being thrown into these markets. And if the mining sector even got a small percentage of that money, it would light the mining sector up quite dramatically. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. But these institutions, they're prone to, or they're shy to losing money. They don't like to lose money. So, they want to see this sector start to go up a little bit, and they don't mind coming in, 10 or 20% after the move has started. And when the money starts to flow, it'll flow big time. If you just look at the metals themselves, and these numbers may sound crazy to some of your listeners, but this is, my belief, and this is where I'm coming from. This is why I'm investing today. We started at $250 gold back in 2002, and it hit a peak of 1900. That's an 8x move. And I put First Majestic together when silver was $5, and I predicted it would go to 50. It did. That's a 10x move. So our lows that we saw, in January 2016, we saw gold at 1330, and we saw silver at 1630. Pardon me, no, 1330, and gold, pardon me, was 1050. I got my number screwed up there, but so you see similar kinds of moves. 8x gold and 10x silver. Those are pretty dramatic numbers. Into the north of 5,000, close to $8,000 gold, and north of 100, at current numbers, it could be, in the 130, 140 range. And, at $16, $17 silver, that sounds, quite foolish to even talk about those kinds of numbers. But, I think that's what's going to happen. When the money comes into this sector again, it's going to make the last bull market look quite small.
Looking at the 2000 run, we've talked about the similarities, but what about some of the differences? And I think this actually might further drive your point home. We're currently in the midst of a bubble across many asset classes, stocks, debt, real estate, maybe even cryptos joining that camp. And the commodities represent the only cheap asset class. I guess my question is, what will make that capital rotate to really kick this into gear?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If we had that answer, we would all be a lot wealthier today than we currently are. But things change. We know things change, and we've had a pretty ugly mining sector, since 2012. Whereby there was a ton of stress, a lot of money being lost because of high costs. The mining sector has righted themselves. At least most of them have, companies like First Majestic, for example, but many others are now seeing cash flows again, seeing treasuries increasing. We're now in a position to start reinvesting capital, and there's a delay from the time you start investing to the time that you start to see improvements in the business. But over time, you will start to see production increasing as cash flow is increasing, because there's still a ton of technology out there that is coming into the mining sector. So I think the mining sector over the next decade will become a much more efficient business. But at the same time, we're going to get into a situation, I'm pretty confident, over the next couple of years, whereby we're going to have miners that are way more efficient today than they were 5 years ago, or even 10 years ago, in a rising metal price environment. So we're going to see, I think, a double whammy, where we're going to see a huge ramp up in cash flows and profitability just because of the efficiencies that the miners have brought into their businesses and will continue to bring in their businesses over the 10 years. So I think the mining sector is a great place to be over the next decade. And you just never know when it's going to turn on. But, you know, as well as I do, Colin, that, you know, this market, when it moves very, very quickly. And I don't mind being wrong for the first, you know, if I buy a stock at 50 cents, if it goes to 30 cents, as long as, you know, the fundamentals are still in place, I might buy some more. I may not buy more, but, you know, I'm prepared to be wrong when I first buy something. And I think buying the mining sector, I think investors need to be prepared to for this exactly the same thing to happen to them. But when it turns, all of a sudden that 50 cent stock could be a dollar stock or higher even. And at that point, you just don't want to chase it. So, you know, I'm price sensitive when it comes to my investing dollars, and I like the prices right now in the marketplace.
Keith, moving over to more commodity specific talk, gold is a little bit lackluster, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, but silver seems like it's suffering even more from investor sentiment. Very few people talking about silver right now. That probably, in your contrarian sense, has you quite excited. What's your take on silver at the moment?
Well, it's a bit of a joke, quite frankly. You know, we've seen zinc prices, you know, almost go up three times, you know, from 60 cents to $1.50-ish. And we've seen lead double. We've seen, you know, copper go up almost 50%. We've seen oil now starting to move. And of course, you know, forget about the battery metals. Nickel and lithium and cobalt, they've just gone crazy. And gold and silver seem to be just caught in this flat line for whatever reason. And it's interesting. But silver, you know, quite frankly, you know, most people, and I travel around the world, as you mentioned earlier in the intro, and I talk to a lot of big institutions about silver and about gold, of course. And people generally think of silver as a cheap gold, you know, and they put silver in the same camp as a precious metal. And I think that's completely incorrect. Silver is a strategic metal. Without silver, we couldn't be having this phone call without silver, or this Skype call. You wouldn't be able to get to work every day. Your house wouldn't operate, or at least not in the current way it operates today. And you know, to go green and do all the things that we want to do as a human race, we're going to need a ton more silver. And it's quite shocking to me that it hasn't shown up in the headlines yet. Silver production is dropping worldwide. You know, people have seen First Majestic silver production dropping over the last 2-3 years. And you know, silver is a lot rarer than people think it is. And if you go back to 2015, for example, the miners on a global scale produced 850 million ounces of silver. In 2016, that number was 800 million ounces, a drop of 50 million ounces. The numbers looking like for 2017, and we're not going to know for another 4 or 5 months, but you know, just some of the analyst work that I've read, you know, because we know Mexico's down, we know Australia's down, so we kind of have the numbers, or at least we're estimating the numbers to be somewhere around 750 million ounces of silver production in 2017, another drop of another 50 million ounces of silver. So that's a 100 million ounce drop in 2 years. Consumption is about 1.1 billion and climbing. And you've got this deficit, and at current metal prices, hardly any of the current consumption's recycling. It's about 150,000 ounces of recycling. So that, you know, you add the 150 to the 750, you're at 900, you're consuming 1.1 billion. And, you know, there's going to be a point in time, as far as I'm concerned anyways, that, you know, the Sony or Toyota or Tesla or Apple, you know, they're just simply not going to be able to produce their products because they won't have access to silver.
Keith, it's no secret to industry veterans or people who have been around for some time that you made quite a name in the copper space at an early time in your career with First Quantum. I want to get your take on where the copper market's at these days and if it's something you're interested in getting heavy into.
Well, I would love to have a really good copper asset in my portfolio. The problem is they're hard to find. I was heavily invested in Ivanhoe, and I'm now out of that stock. You know, it went up 10 times, and you know, and when the stock goes up 10 times, you know, you have to take profits. At least, you know, for my money at 10 times, I'm happy. So I'm looking around for another copper project, but. You know, I love copper. I think that copper, silver are your two most critical metals that you need to have in your portfolio. Those are the green metals. And Robert Friedland says it all the time. He doesn't really talk about silver very much, you know, because his assets in Africa, you know, that are owned by Ivanhoe, you know, are really silver rich. You know, they're more zinc and more copper. So he talks a lot about those two particular metals. But, you know, he's right in his comments about copper. You know, the electric cars, you know, robotics, you know, going green, battery technologies, all the things we're doing to improve our energy infrastructure and the way we, you know, run the planet. We need a lot more copper and we need a ton more silver as well. So you got to have copper and silver in your portfolio.
And Keith, on palladium and platinum, platinum is very low historically to gold, and then it's also historically very low to palladium all of a sudden. Are you interested in these metals? They're tied, at least in investors' minds, to gas vehicles, which people are starting to perceive might not dominate for forever in the future.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of platinum or palladium, and the reason why is because they're such tiny markets, and you know, I just don't like very liquid markets. You know, they're controlled by very, very small groups. There's only a couple of mines that supply the metal. They're extremely volatile, and you know, platinum looks like silver to me. You know, and I never understood why anyone would buy platinum jewelry, because I could understand gold. I love gold. I mean, gold looks like gold. You know, platinum looks like silver. So why not just buy silver jewelry? Which makes way more sense and it's a lot cheaper. But because the price of platinum, if you go back about 10 years, there's been a lot of research done to replace platinum in catalytic converters. And quite frankly, even with silver, Toyota actually has a catalytic converter in diesel trucks that has a silver base, not a platinum base to it. So I've always thought that platinum was going to be dislodged somehow from automobiles. Now that we're going electric, I think that's just being sped up. And I think that's why we're seeing platinum underperforming gold, because it doesn't make sense to own it as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Well, the opportunities that you saw present in 2015 as we bounced along that very bottom of the commodity cycle were really incredible, and you used that, of course, to put together the portfolio over at First Mining Finance, essentially stealing assets in some cases. Since you're so close to the market and seeing the pricing of things, I'm just kind of curious what you're seeing at this point compared to the 2015 bottom. Is there a chance to steal assets still at this point? Does it make sense to continue to acquire, or is that over?
Well, you know, I did it three times. So, you know, I picked the bottom at First Quantum, I picked the bottom in First Majestic, and I picked the bottom in First Mining. So, and in all three cases, you know, we put, as a team, put together, you know, our portfolios with almost no competition. You know, which is quite shocking, and I even remember being criticized, you know, when we first bought our first project at First Quantum. It was a tailings project in Ndola, Zambia. We were the first investors there in 35 years, and then people were going like, what the heck are you going to the Congo for or to Zambia for? And then when I put First Majestic together, people say, what the heck are you buying old Mexican silver mines for? And, you know, and even now today, with First Mining Finance, you know, I hear, oh geez, you know, that you did that pretty easily. I gather that, those assets must not be very good because you bought them so easily. It makes me laugh because, people actually don't realize, or well, they might obviously realize if they think about it, but they don't remember how bad it was in 2015. You had companies that had, two, three, $400 million market caps that are trading at, $10 or $20 million. They were down 90%, and they had no money left. No one was willing to cut checks and keep them alive, and they're virtually bankrupt. And they were forced to do something, to merge, to become bigger, just to survive the bear market. And we took advantage of that. My timing, or our timing, was absolutely fantastic. We were putting together, I think First Mining's portfolio is likely the best gold development portfolio of any junior in the world. And it may sound like a bold statement, but I challenge anyone to challenge me on that comment. But we're going to develop those assets and prove them out and build them into big operations. And I'm sure that, in First Mining's portfolio, there's probably at least, 4 to 5, mines, of gold mines, that'll be producing over the next, 5 to 10 years. So, that's exciting to me. Well, will it happen again? I don't think so. I've been doing this for, 34 years now, and I've never seen, even though I've seen lots of bear markets, I've never seen a bear market that bad before. When we saw valuations of gold in the ground trading at less than $10 an ounce, and that was amazing. And I was very happy that we were so successful in putting together the portfolio we did.
Last question here for you, Keith, before I let you go. Any update you can provide our listeners on First Majestic Silver would be much appreciated.
Yeah, sure, I'd love to. Look, the mining sector has been, challenged, just with, lack of cash flows and lack of in dollars to invest. I don't want to go and raise money at, weak share prices just to advance the business. I'd rather, I grind down the size of the business and grind down our costs and survive the bear market and improve the business through, innovation and through technology, and drive our costs down, which is exactly what we've been doing over the last 2 or 3 years. And we've seen a little bit of cost creep over the last couple of quarters as a result of higher oil prices and stronger peso. But still, with the technologies that we're bringing in place in 2018 and 2019, we'll go a long ways in keeping our costs down and remaining profitable, even if silver prices stay, where they currently are, which I don't think they will. I think actually the metal price will improve a lot over the next couple of years, but at the same time, we can't guarantee that, so we have to be lean and mean, and that's what we're doing. And the cash flows that we are generating are being reinvested in operations, and we're starting to rebuild, the mills and get into the mines and do the development that was lacking over the last couple of years, and also increase our investment in exploration. For example, we've got 23 rigs active right now. We're drilling 140,000 meters of drilling in 2017. It's the largest drill program we've ever had in the history of the company. 2017 is First Majestic's 15th year in business. So, that's a lot of time, and it's a big program. So we're very excited about that. But you've got a delay, from the time you start investing capital, to the time you actually start to see an improvement in the business. There's really about a 12 to 24 month delay. So we started the increase in spend at the end of 2016 as a result of, improved profitability. And we've continued that investment in 2017, and we're going to continue that investment also in 2018. And we'll start to see increase in production by mid-2018, we're expecting. And that's going to continue on in the next few years. And if we get an increase in silver price, which again, I think is going to happen, we're going to be able to even increase our investment even more than we currently are, and that's going to even grow the business even greater.
Great. Well, Keith, it's always a pleasure getting you on the show. Thank you so much for lending us half an hour of your time here, and hopefully we get you back on the show in the new year with some improved mining equity prices.
Yeah, it would be nice. But as I said, it's these prices I like. So I've been accumulating some of my favorite stocks over the last couple of months, and I'll continue to do that. And eventually I'll stop doing that because the prices will start to rise, and it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if.
Keith, many thanks for coming back on the program.
Great, Colin. Good chatting with you again.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw materials. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?